Ready for a special offer on a print subscription to Premier Guitar? Visit shop.premierguitar.com now and use this coupon, PODCAST15, that's PODCAST15, to get 15% off a one-year subscription to our in-depth coverage of your favorite artists and the coolest new gear. Offer valid in U.S. only, no Wi-Fi required.
This is Chris Keys for Premier Guitar. We're hanging out at the Hiawatt in Nashville, Tennessee with my dear friend, Sean. Sean, how you doing?
I'm doing great, man.
Sean is with King Buffalo, guitar and vocals. And before going any further, Sean, I have to do something real quick. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. I know Sean has already because he talks about rig rundowns. Anyway, Sean, talk to me about this guitar that I know you've had for quite some time, but I remember you the first time I saw you with a Strat. And at some point it had surgery. I don't know if you bought it like that, but it had like Filtertrons in it.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Talk to me about the evolution of your guitars, starting with this one and kind of how you went from that to the Fender.
So
from the Fender to that.
Yeah, actually the Fender was my first like main real guitar. That was what I used all the time. And actually, so our first full length Orion was with all pretty much all with the Strat. This was only on one song. And that was still with the single coils and the Strat.
Okay.
And then I put new pickups. I kind of like redid a bunch of stuff to this and I started really liking it. And then so like basically this has been my number one guitar since like 2017.
All right.
Yeah.
What pickups did you put in it or what type of things did you make it so it's kind of shifted to number one land?
Well, it was like super dumb cheap when I got it. Like,
yeah.
They couldn't sell it. It was brand new. It's been on the shelves for like 10 years or whatever.
Yeah.
So it was like $300. I traded like a crappy Epiphone and gave him like $150 and walked away with it. But like it's a Chinese one, so it was had some issues.
Yes.
So I put Seymour Duncan 59s in there and replaced all the tuners with Shalers. And I think we replaced the pots and just like the jacks and switches, you know, just basically got stuff that could like live up to the road.
Yeah. Gave it a makeup.
Yeah.
Or makeover, I should say.
Then it sounded really great. Like with the original pickups, I wasn't too fond of. It kind of felt like I was playing through a pillow, especially coming from single coils. And then I replaced them with these, and it just opened right up. Like changed everything.
Now, were the 59 something you already knew that you wanted to put into a guitar? Say this one or any other humbucker guitar? Or was it something you had to like, I guess, figure out?
Actually, it was like my buddy who he like does my setups and stuff back home, and I mentioned like I was looking for a set of humbuckers to put in there. And he's like, well, I got a used set of 59s, like you want them? And I was like, I don't know, do I want them? Are they cool?
Yeah.
He's like, I use them. I got them in a couple guitars. I think they're great. And I took his word on it and he was right.
Cool. Yeah. And I know with the Strat, that probably wasn't an option, but I do see you sometimes playing behind the bridge. Is that something that as you've become to use this, like you said, the newest record, Long to Be the Mountain, that you'll pick behind the bridge? Is that something because this car has, or
yeah,
guitar has it, you go for it?
Yeah, just because it's there, and like sometimes I just want to make obnoxious noises, so I'll just do stuff like that. But,
yeah.
You know, which on the Strat I could only go up here, but now that you know, I can like actually get a little more volume of it up here as opposed to up there.
Yeah. And what about strings? Do you have a particular brand or a gauge that you're fond of?
Yeah. So this I use NYXLs, and I use the 10 to 52 set, so it's like the heavy bottoms.
Yeah.
On my Strat, I use just like kind of straight tens because it's a longer scale length. It can be a little tighter and still like hold. This is even still a little loosey goosey on the low C, which we tuned down.
I was gonna say, what's your tuning? So it's drop C or?
Yeah, drop C.
Okay, cool.
On this guitar, the Strat, which is also kind of goes back and forth, but when I did bring two for a little while, and I would have that one in D standard and this one in drop. But now I just get away with one.
Okay. Yeah. I was going to say, so no backups at all. This is
no
net.
No, the NYXLs, like they very rarely break. And of course I just said that and now tonight's probably going to be a nightmare. but no, they very rarely break. They last super long. So if I do ever end up breaking a string, I'd rather just pop a new one on in like a minute and a half rather than take, you know, I found I kept having this when I would pull up the secondary guitar, I would have to retune it anyways. It would always take, you know, just as much time.
Yeah.
So throw on a new string. And
you got capable bandmates in Scott and Dan to hold down.
Yeah,
while,
for
while
sure.
While you're finacking. Yeah. For amps, Twin, I know you've been a Twin guy for a long time, but this one, as road dogs happen to have, they need time in the shop. So this one just got fixed.
Yeah, actually, yesterday we pulled into Nashville and took it over to Eastside Music Supply, and they hooked me up and got it fixed within, I don't know, it was like 2 hours, you know, which was great.
Was it like DOA, or was it just kind of being a bitch or finicky?
Finicky.
Okay.
It was, I mean, I've used that thing pretty much exclusively for 3 or 4 years now. And I've never had issues with it. I had one issue once where the power tubes went, that just happens.
Yeah, it's normal.
But since then, since I replaced them, I haven't even changed the tubes for like 3 years.
Okay.
So it's been really reliable, but over the past few tours, it started to crop up with like weird noises and artifacts,
yeah.
And it was like power drops and stuff. I took it to my guy back home. He fixed a couple things, but apparently there was still more stuff going on. And so I was like, I don't know, man. So I took it to Eastside, and I was like, can you just give me a second opinion? Am I crazy, or is this malfunctioning? And wasn't crazy.
So like in any health and situation, it's always good to get a second opinion, just like with your amp.
Yeah, yeah. And they totally found some stuff, and they hooked me up. So.
Now, is this an original, or is this a reissue? Is this a vintage Silverface?
73.
Okay.
So, yeah.
And speakers, do you know if there's anything in there special, or is it just what came with it?
No, well, it's all been, I put Texas Heats in there, and that's what was in there for 2 or 3 years.
Okay.
I actually, just before this tour, I put a Warehouse ET65 in there, so it's a Texas Heat and an ET65.
Why go with that, you know, the 1-2 punch, rather than the same?
Well, I was just kind of getting antsy. I'd been playing the same thing for a long time.
Yeah.
I wanted to see if, like, you know, it would change things up. Plus, being a three-piece, it helped, you know, two different speakers, we can mic both of them and mm-hmm. kind of pan them and have a little more spread in a live situation as opposed to just the two speakers that are the same.
Cool. And speaking of that, you played some clean stuff on the way in, but not to be forgotten, you definitely have some dirt and grime on there. So let's talk pedals, man.
Cool.
I want to, maybe a good jumping point off is like, you guys have a lot of dynamics, not within just records, but songs. So like Orion, Goliath, 1 and 2, like those, they're clean tones with like karanging reverb and delay that have really long repeats. So I guess let's start there. What are you going for with delay settings and reverb to make what you got going on for the most part in clean zone?
Reverb's pretty simple. I just use a TC Electronics Hall of Fame, and I just have it on the hall, and I just have it, I don't know, I think their hall sounds really good.
Okay.
I haven't found a lot of others that, I think they do like digital reverb and delay really well. So yeah, that's what I've been using for, I don't know, 4 years, five
okay.
years.
Wow.
It's been a very long time. And then the Strymon was an addition right after we did Repeater. I was using the TC Electronics Flashback X4,
yep.
But it was taking up too much room, and it couldn't like save as many presets. So I got the Strymon, which is really easy to dial in BPM, and I just kind of use usually just like a tape delay.
Okay.
Run it pretty clean. Like I don't like do too much modulation. There's some, but not enough, not a lot. I don't like drive the tape in finger
yeah.
quotes, you know.
Can we hear like? Cause and then are you running reverb all the time?
Pretty much. No reverb from the amp.
Okay.
I used to use a little kiss of the spring reverb and then this as well, but now I just have it totally dry.
Okay.
But yeah, the reverb, so this is just the, so it would help if I tuned, but so it's like not super, you can just kind of hear it there. And then the delay, so like probably this is probably the most complicated delay that I use is just a tape delay, but it's really slow. And I have that basically just going forever. And the expression pedal controls that. And
okay.
I can just let it ride, and then I can like.
And this is at the beginning of Repeater, then I imagine. The,
yep.
The thing.
Yep.
There.
But I do it a lot with a lot of different songs.
Yeah,
yeah,
you create a bed. Like I was wondering when we came up yep. here if you're gonna have a loop or if you just kind of have a freeze or looks like this is how you do it.
Yep, so there has been a freeze on my board at different times before.
Okay.
But having to double tap it on off was just too much to do. Mm-hmm. Tap dancing too much, it was kind of
yeah.
crazy. So I don't know, I found the Strymon really does everything I need it to do, and the having the expression pedal hooked up to it, it does a lot. Plus, so I can, a lot of the things I'll do is, so like on, I got an intro maybe. Hold it down and it'll, and then I can let go and it'll come back down. So instead of using the expression pedal always for that, I can kind of have the expression pedal where I want it and then do the hold function.
Cool. Moving to the right, now what's going on there that looks like a splitter box of some sort?
It's just like a loop box. Okay. So I have, you know, like my overdrive loop and my fuzz loop.
Well, let's hear both those.
Yeah, so the overdrive. So that's my overdrive. That's it's a tube pedal. It's by a company called Lightning Boy Audio.
Okay.
They're out of Buffalo, New York. It's all hand wired. It's like, I don't know, I think it's really cool. It's really, like, it cleans up well. It cleans up nice. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I have my BYOC.
Did you do it yourself?
Yeah,
All right.
Which I did like years ago. It was the first one I ever put together. And it's just their BC-109 fuzz face.
Okay.
And so on its own, it's just. And then with the overdrive, it's. So it just like.
Damn, dude.
Thickens up quite a bit because I keep the amp really clean.
Yeah. So. Like when one. I mean, I'm sure some parts of the set are feel, but is there any specific songs where that hellacious sound comes together? Like where you know, okay, at this point of the song, it's we're double tapping on both those suckers.
Yeah, I mean, most of the time when I'm in fuzz mode, it's always both going.
Okay.
There's only a couple spots that I'll use just the fuzz. And it's kind of more as,
dude,
like a subtle effect.
Dude, and they're both, both they're, controls.
Yep, yeah, so, because the fuzz face is actually, it's not that loud of a pedal.
Okay.
So, like, there isn't, like, a ton of, I don't know, I guess the word is gain, but I don't know if that's really the right way to use the word.
Mm.
But it's not really that loud, so even when it's maxed out, it's not, like, a huge volume jump. It's not like a big muff where you max everything out.
Yeah,
like, it's like a 20 dB boost.
Yeah.
But the Lightning Boy is extremely loud.
So I imagine you run that into the fuzz.
No, actually, I do the fuzz and the Lightning Boy, and I kind of did that just because the fuzz face is, I think they sound great, but they can be kind of thin, particularly when chugging in like low C. So running it into the overdrive really, I don't know, smooths it out and kind of fattens it up a little bit. So like when I use I'll use just the fuzz on like quickening when we jump to these little loud parts. So, you know, it'll be something like, you know, we're doing the. Now it's, how do I play the song?
It's your song, man.
Like hit that and then I'll turn it off and then when we actually go to the end it's full go.
Dude, man, that sounds beastly. And then a lot of times with your solos you have the reverb and the delay on as well, so it's kind of almost like a Echoes Pompeii, Live in Pompeii, Gilmore shit.
Yeah, I mean I don't really have like good shredding chops, so I kind of let the gear do the work.
Yeah.
You know, if you have the fuzz and everything cranked, and you have a plenty of delay and reverb, it all kind of starts to work together and kind of does its own thing, and it covers up any mistakes that you make.
Or just doubles them too.
yeah. Which, you know, I've always, you know, the old jazz saying, right? If you make a mistake, just like repeat it.
And yeah.
It's intentional.
Yes.
Hey PG fans, it's John Bollinger. Thanks for checking out our podcast. Have you ever seen the cool PG t-shirts I wear on Rig Rundowns? Well, now you can snag your very own PG merch too. T-shirts, posters, keychains, and much more. Head to shop.premierguitar.com and check it out.
And what's the last pedal we kind of didn't go over? We see the Analog Man buffer, obviously the tuner, but what's in the corner there?
It's the Whirlwind Rochester Series Phase 90. So, like Whirlwind was, they actually have, I think, still some offices in Rochester, which is our hometown.
Okay.
And that's just like an old script Phase 90 clone. Supposedly, it's one of the most there's been a million Phase 90s.
Yeah.
Supposedly, that's one of the most accurate ones because they actually own the rights to it, I think, before MXR did them. So
yeah, with Dunlop.
I'm not 100% sure.
When does that get brought in? Is that more of a flavor thing, or is that like there's specific times or points?
There's definitely specific times, and it's usually kind of like chaos moments, you know, kind of throw it on and it'll kind of just, this is a really deep sweep, especially with the fuzz and overdrive going.
I think we got to hear that.
But
it's enter chaos mode.
Yeah, so let's see. It's a pretty big sweep, but what I kind of like about it is actually if you, like, a lot of, there's certain parts in the set I'll dial it back, and, like, it's kind of that nice sort of, you know, like that, the Phase 90 sound that people, you know, grew to love. And
kind of like a Leslie, too.
Yeah, and so I'll use it, like, more subtly for certain, like, jam sections that we aren't totally scripted, but.
Maybe even, like, fatten up the clean tone.
Yeah, yeah, just kind of give it a little bit of movement.
Yeah.
You know?
And I know that I kind of had you go through one by one with these pedals, but it looks like you have a 12-step here to kind of control all of them at once when you need one
no,
button.
Actually, that just controls the synth.
Ah.
It runs to my pedal board because I have the power supply thing mounted underneath to make it easier to set up and tear down.
But. And is that just something you throw in between like kind of interlude stuff?
Yeah, it's kind of just like a drone that goes through a lot of the set me and Dan both have since. And the intro to Longing to Be the Mountain, you know, has an actual synth part that I play by hand. But then most of it is the rest, like certain lead sections, I'll kick it on just to kind of fatten up, make it bloom a little bit more.
And then I know sometimes, and I don't know if any of the songs are on the set, but you will occasionally play slide on parts.
Yeah.
Is there a slide that you are partial to or that you like the sound?
Yeah, I love the Dunlop 212, which apparently is getting really hard to find now. So
just when you find it.
Yeah, yeah. So it's actually funny, I was scrambling before this tour to find a slide, so I had to get a new one, and I've got this rock glass slide, which is pretty interesting. It's just because it's short like the 212, but I'm just kind of getting used to it. It's got this weird recessed like knuckle area, and it's kind of all tapered and weird, so it sits kind of snug. It's a little odd, but I'm getting used to it.
Yeah, I've seen you use years past, even brass, so I was just curious how that evolution has occurred.
Yeah, I think the brass one was just like the one I had from when I just on a whim bought one at a guitar center when I was like 18 and didn't know anything about slide, and I was like, oh, no, I could get one. And then I switched to glass because I think it just works way better, especially with like overdrive and fuzz. It's a little less like, I don't know, noisy.
Mm-hmm. Well, dang. Yeah. Thank you very much, Sean.
Yeah, thank you, man.
We're going to talk to Dan real quick.
Cool.
All right, last but not least, Dan the bassist. Dan, how you doing?
That's me. Hi, good.
Thank you. Yeah, it is you. Cool. Thanks for talking to us today.
Yeah, no problem.
Killer, man. Talk to me about this Music Man.
Music Man Sterling from 2003.
Oh, all right.
I think I bought it at that point. And
oh, wow, so you've had it for...
haven't stopped using it, basically.
16 years?
Yeah. The whole time I've been playing bass, aside from a horrible $100 Dean bass I had at first, which I don't even know where that
Everyone had those instruments.
You had to with the little combo.
I mean,
dude, it sounded great.
Paper out, got to do it, man.
Mm.
So what got you to the Sterling? What made you make that decision?
I was pretending that I could be like in the Red Hot Chili Peppers or early Incubus. So I was trying to pop and slap and stuff.
Yeah.
And these basses are made pretty well for that type of thing.
Yeah.
And then I just stopped doing that. But it still has a nice grit and sort of growl to it. Just on its own. It's active pickups and stuff.
Have you done anything to make it custom to you?
I just beat it to hell. That's about it. No, it's all the same stuff, really.
And
I didn't change on anything.
Imagine that's just a 3-band EQ?
Yeah, yeah.
An active
mid, bass, treble, and then just volume. Yep.
Cool.
And then pickup switcher, which I don't use, but it's there. Just changes phase in the pickup.
Oh, okay. And bass, you got a little bitty.
Yeah, I got lazy, honestly.
I
have a V4.
Okay.
It was a VT22 chopped in half and turned into a head and stuff, but they're heavy, man, and they jank around, and it had a couple issues, kind of like, you know, Sean had his things, and it's just bass live it gets DI'd a lot of the time anyway.
It's true.
So like it gets blasted through the subs. It sounds fine.
Yeah.
You know, and it sounds pretty damn good. It's Bergantino is a company that's been making insanely expensive, really nice cabs for years.
Yeah, they're up by you guys. They're in Massachusetts.
Yeah, and they just started making amps. I mean, it's 6 pounds, 700 watts. It's got built-in compression and then nice clean DI. So it just sounds fine. And then the cab I got right before tour.
Okay.
Just to have something a little bigger. I had a 410 Avatar, but some stages, like, I couldn't get the volume from it, and monitor mix for bass is just rough. So I just needed something a little louder, and it's good.
Yeah. It's interesting that with guitars, I don't want to speak for everyone, but a lot of times guitar dorks will swear by the tubes, but like bass players are just like almost like what's smarter, what's easier.
Yeah, and there's just like for recording, I probably won't use it. Maybe I will. Who knows?
Yeah.
But like, it sounds so close. Plus, I guess when we get over the pedal boards, I have something that'll sort of compensate for the just pure flatness of that amp. To kind of give it a little bit of life.
Well, dude, I feel like that is the greatest segue ever. Let's just talk
right?
pedals. Let's start at that point. What kind of gives it a little more life?
The yellow pedal there, sort of top left, it is also Lightning Boy, like Sean had his overdrive. This is sort of a similar thing. It actually does have a little tube inside of it that you can't see like his. And it just kind of adds tube compression sort of to everything.
Can we hear like the amp and then with the pedal on?
Sort of cleans it up a little bit,
yeah.
Gets rid of that, you know, digital amp modeling that the Bergantino has, and just sort of vintages it up a little bit.
And because of that, is that something that's on pretty much, you know,
it's always
you're playing on,
yeah,
it's going.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, and then walk us through the rest of your colors here.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the tuner. Then first real things, the Green Rhino overdrive.
Yeah.
And I just used that. Sorting in conjunction with the next one, which is the Team Awesome Fuzz, which is a dude based in Philly that makes a bunch of pedals.
I don't know about the dude based in Philly, but I do know about the Green Rhino. That's kind of a more push to the guitar market. How did you make that based?
Well,
thing for
I
you?
Got it for free.
That's
and
a good start.
It has something that's important for bass, is it has a 100 hertz boost on it, because a lot of fuzzes, and for years and years, that was the problem on bass. As soon as you turn it on, there goes
everything's
the bass.
Gone. Yeah.
So that helps on that one, and then just use it. I mean, I just go through gain stages to like when songs get crazier.
Yeah.
Just keep stacking stuff until you're just brown noting basically.
Well, can we hear some stacking?
Yeah. So. And then the fuzz on its own. Plus, the Team Awesome's kind of cool because it has clean and the volume. So I'm sending the overdrive through the clean, so it's stacking both together, and then I can adjust it as well. And it has a little noise gate.
Yeah, the gate. Yeah, I was gonna say, okay, that's cool. That's
which
built
is
in.
Cool because then you can just sort of. You can just make stupid stuff with that too. So.
And then up top, you got two kind of modulations.
Yeah, the TC Electronics Helix Phaser. I use that one, though it's on the Fritz a little bit now. But I usually use that one for a more subtle phase.
Okay.
Because the next one is the phase 90, and it just is what it is, but it's very kind of, you notice that it's on.
Do you put those with any of the dirt or the fuzz?
Yeah, most of the time it is on with either the fuzz or the overdrive.
Cool.
Yeah.
Can we maybe hear the Helix and then the MXR and then maybe one of
them? Well, the Helix isn't plugged in right
now. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Sorry. Well, then let's just not even hear that.
So I use that for nothing tasteful, but
when it's needed.
Yeah, of course, for the weird sections. Then we got the Lightning Boy, and then at the end, that's a Dunlop CAE-WA.
Okay.
which was nice because it has a boost on it. It has two different wah settings to get different sounds, and it has a volume on it because, again, wah and bass can sometimes get lost, or it's too much, or it's, so you need to dial it in. And in every case, I'm using that with fuzz as well anyway. So
have you ever used, I know specifically to Dunlop, they have a geezer wall, and there's other obviously bass walls out there.
I used the white one, the bass wah, but the way it's built, like this is like a click on, click off.
Okay.
The other one is like always off until you just hit it down and off, which is nice, but I went through so many, I don't know what it was. Like using it all the time, the mechanism just would wear out. So I loved how it sounded, but it was just sort of unfeasible to keep buying wahs all the time.
And are you like cocking the wah, or is it something you're manipulating with your foot pretty often, or is it just you kind of like let it go halfway and let it?
I usually use it sort of a slow sweep.
Okay.
With fuzz pretty much always. That's why it's at the end of the chain too.
I just felt my
because when you put it traditionally you put the wah before, you know, gain stage stuff.
Yeah.
But then the gain stage obliterates it. Mm-hmm. But I want it to just be the asinine, just like the wah's on now. I hear that.
You know, and you feel it.
Yep.
And I imagine just like with Sean, the 12 step.
12 step
is controlling to let the Moog go through.
The Minotaur.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, which I use. Similar to him, basically just drones for the most part, and then every once in a while manipulate the cutoff and resonance and stuff to give it a little more movement.
Cool.
But that's pretty simple, really. And then it's all compact, too, which is nice.
Yeah.
Nice little setup that I can throw up and down super quick.
Because before you were saying that this was a lot more expansive.
Oh,
at one point.
This was twice the size. I had a full keyboard synth. But I never actually played the keys on it. And it's super cool, but just condensing all this down for, you know, we tour often enough where I can fit all of this plus the amp in one Pelican case.
It's nice.
So I have one Pelly, bass case, cab, that's it.
And I guess the last thing, going back full circle in reverse, is to ask about strings. And from what I remember you playing, you're kind of just the finger dude, right? You're not playing pick too much.
Yep.
The reason
for that, I mean, I always gravitated towards it more,
and
it's just been so long since I've used a pick. I want to try to get back into it, but it just feels alien to me
most
of the time because I just don't do it. So I'd like to add it in at some point just to get a different feel and
different flavor.
Yeah, for sure. Strings are DRs, standard gauge, the blues.
Okay.
Sort of the hybrid strings they have, and I've used those for forever.
Kind of like
sound
a comfort thing.
And last for, you know, 6 months. I don't need to worry about changing them all the time.
That's nice.
On bass, you can get away with that.
Yeah, it's almost like encouraged because.
And I don't like the day or two after new strings. I hate it, honestly. Just all the high end, like, it's just too much. So, you got to roll all that off. So let them live, and it's nice. Yeah.
Cool. Well, Dan, I appreciate it, dude.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. This is Chris Keys for Premier Guitar with another rig rundown.